Let's just tell the Lord that He is good, that He is worthy to be praised, that He is faithful, that He is true. Oh, we give You praise. We give You glory. We give You honor. Tell Him that we give Him praise. We give Him glory. We give Him honor. That He is worthy of all praise, all worship, all adoration that belongs to Him and Him alone. Thank God for life. Thank God that You are alive this morning. Thank God that You are healthy, clothed in Your right mind. Yes, we give You glory. We give You honor. Just thank Him just for a few minutes. Just give Him
thanks.
Just give Him thanks. Just give Him thanks. Just give Him thanks. Lord, we give You praise. We give You praise. We give You praise. Oh, yes.
We give You praise.
Oh, yes.
Meet unto me according to Your word.
Good.
God is good all the time.
Oh, Bible makes it clear in Matthew chapter 9 verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So Jesus was preaching, teaching, healing. Hallelujah. Then what else did he do? We have two more verses to support what he did. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. Amen. So it makes it clear that yesterday Jesus was preaching, teaching, healing, doing good, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Amen. And then he did one more thing. He did many things. But one more thing we are going to talk about is 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, which says, for whosoever committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So Jesus Christ went about preaching, teaching, healing, doing good, delivering all that were afflicted of the devil and destroying the works of the devil. Amen. That's what he did yesterday. Now, why is it so important that Jesus, instead of establishing hospitals, going all around, having crusades all over the world, healing people, why did he rather preach, teach, and heal? That looks so simple. Preaching, teaching, and healing. Why those three major things? Preaching, teaching, healing, doing good. So it means preaching, teaching, healing is doing the maximum good.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Preaching, teaching, healing is destroying the works of the devil.
Amen.
Now, we started to talk about why preaching is so important. Why was he focusing on preaching so much?
How will I know?
The first reason is because preaching deals with man's problems from the root of them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So preaching goes directly to man's problems and attacks man's problems from the root of it. Now what am I talking about? When Adam was created by God and Eve, God told Adam, I give you dominion over the fish of the sea, over every creeping thing, over all the earth. So God gave Adam dominion over the earth.
Amen.
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 And the Bible says that after God gave Adam dominion over the earth, Satan tempted Eve. The Bible actually says Eve was deceived and not Adam. Adam was coerced. I'm preaching to somebody. That's Bible. When I was born, the Bible was put by me in my christening. Hallelujah. So I came to meet the Bible. So now I'm a messenger of what the Bible says. And the Bible says that Eve was the one deceived, not Adam. That's in the letters. Maybe we can get that. And Adam was coerced, or Adam was convinced. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned, God told Adam, Adam, what have you done? But what have you? Do you understand what you have done? Do you not know that by eating of the fruit and following Satan, now Satan has become the prince of this world? Now Satan has control over the world, not in terms of full control. It's similar to a landlord and a tenant. Satan is the tenant, and God is the landlord. Just make it a simple analogy. What do I mean by that? When you are a tenant, there are rules, there's a lease. You can't do anything you want. Certain things you need permission. You can't kill anyone you want. You can't just do anything you want. You need permission before you do certain things. That's why the Bible talks about Job, that when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, Satan also came. You see that Satan came and needed permission to touch Job. Satan could not do anything to Job without God's permission. I mean, I get what I'm saying. So it means that nothing can happen to a Christian without God approving of it. Am I saying something to somebody?
Yeah.
Nothing can happen. So because of that, Adam sold out to the devil, and the devil became the prince of this world and had dominion over things. That's why when Satan left the presence of the Lord, he struck Job's whole area with floods and with hurricanes and with winds and caused armed robbers and thieves to break and destroy his property. How many can get what I'm saying? That's because Adam became the prince of this world. And then when Satan was Satan became the prince of this world. And when Satan was tempting Jesus, what did Satan tell Jesus? Satan said, all these kingdoms of the world have been delivered unto me. And that's why Jesus Christ had to come to become the second Adam and regain man's authority back. So now, anyone who is in Christ, he has regained the authority. Can I have an amen?
Yeah.
So anyone not in Christ does not have the authority. But once you are in Jesus Christ, God's power has been delegated to you, and you now have delegated power.
Amen.
Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So when Adam sinned, God said, do you not understand what you have done? Do you not understand that all the diseases in the world, they are now diseases that have come because of the sin? There is now heartache. There is now famine. There is now disease. There is death. And there is hell, there is all the bad you can think of because of Adam's sin. Hallelujah. So when Jesus came and was preaching, Jesus was not just dealing with man's problems from the root of it. I mean, he was dealing with it from the root of it, because remember that sin is because we sin that we will die. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the soul that sinned shall die. If I never sinned, or Don Cash, or none of us ever sinned, what will happen is that we cannot die. It's because of sin that we will die. Can I have an amen? And sin is not just what we do, but sin is a nature.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So you and I adopted, or we developed the sin nature by birth. Because when Adam sinned, we became children of Adam. That's why the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become children of God, or sons of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible says that we have been adopted. And that's why we cry, Abba Father, because we have been adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Jesus had to preach to deal with the sin nature, because any person who has the sin nature in them sins. And anyone who has the sin nature, troubles follow them. Anyone who has the sin nature is under control of the devil. But when you and I become born again Christians and the preaching hits us, the preaching takes away man's problems from the root of it.
Hallelujah.
Can I have an amen? Otherwise, it will be as if someone has strep throat and you are giving them Advil or ibuprofen. 800 milligrams. They'll get scarlet or rheumatic fever. Is that right? And your valves, your heart valves will just mess up and you will die. There's a doctor here, a physician, so if I'm saying anything inaccurate, it will be mentioned. You'll get rheumatic fever or scarlet fever and die through strep throat. That's why you need to give the person antibiotics to deal with the bacteria from the root of it.
Hallelujah.
In the same way, Jesus didn't want to just heal people only, but he wanted to deal with man's problems from the root of it.
Amen.
And that was to preach, to teach, to heal, and to die on the cross.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we talked a bit about that. Number two, the reason why preaching is powerful is because preaching releases the power of God.
Amen.
We read from Romans 1:16. Am I preaching to somebody?
Yeah.
Bible says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ."
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
"For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek."
Amen.
So the preaching is the power of God. Can you not think about it? There are so many things that cannot change us, but the preaching will change you.
Amen.
There were many things that could not change me. The law couldn't change me. When I was in the United Kingdom, I was involved in all sorts of things. The law could not change me. Fear of jail could not change me. I was involved in all sorts of dubious things. I had to turn the mic off to explain to some of us what some of the dubious things I was involved in the United Kingdom, because this goes out in the air. Jail could not change me. HIV, even the fear of getting HIV could not change me, because I was involved in extracurricular sexual activities. And that couldn't change me, because unprotected sex, blah, 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 it didn't change me. The only drinking and driving, you hear of accidents. I didn't have a license then. But what changed, and lung cancer could not change me. The fear of lung cancer. The statistics could not change me. I smoked. Sometimes when I go to the club, I smoke actually 2 packets of 20. And my sister was with me. At that time, she was praying for me. Gave her life to Christ. And she would give me very scary testimonies. She knew how to get me. Testimonies. Testimonies are just quiet. Right. So I tried to surrender to Jesus. That couldn't change me. But Jesus Christ, through the preaching of the word, changed me. In the same way, all of us, or most of us, have a point at which things that couldn't change us, the preaching of the word could change.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the preaching of the word is the power of God. that it is so powerful that anything that cannot change you will be put away. And what can change you is the preaching. No matter who you are, no matter who, no matter how wild. There was a guy called Nicky Cruz. He was one of the top gangsters in New York, or any one of those areas. It wasn't New York, yeah, New York. Yeah, you told me about Nicky Cruz when I was an unbeliever. Now, this Nicky Cruz, wild gangster, and a pastor came to him. I mean, he killed so many people. A pastor came to him and said, Jesus loves you. And then he slapped the pastor in the cheek. And then the pastor turned the other cheek. Because Jesus said, what? Turn it. He turned the other cheek. And then the Nicky Cruz was about to slap him and left. That Jesus loves you rang in his heart and he gave his life to Christ.
Wow.
So the preaching of the word can change even a wild murderer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number three, we talked about all this. I think we ended here last week. The preaching of the word gives hope.
Amen.
Romans 15:4.
Preach
the preaching of the word of God gives hope.
Amen.
The preaching of the word of God gives what? Hope. And then we read from Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So someone can come to church in a hopeless situation, in a miserable situation, very sad, very discouraged. But when the preaching is heard, the preaching gives hope that look, there is hope for tomorrow, that tomorrow is going to be better. That even yesterday is gone, but what? Today has come. And God will do something new in your life. Hallelujah. So God will do something new. Do something new. He's able. There is hope for tomorrow. There is hope that, look, it doesn't matter what you are going through. What matters is that, look, joy cometh in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. We must believe it. We must believe that joy comes in the morning. We must believe that, look, God will give a garment of praise.
Hallelujah.
In place of the spirit of heaviness. We must believe it.
Amen.
We must believe that in His time, He makes all things beautiful. But that won't come without the preacher. Because it's very clear that hope comes from the scriptures. Now, hope is an anchor for the soul.
Amen.
Hope is so important. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Hope is an anchor for the soul.
Amen.
Which hope we have as an anchor, or a very strong heavy metal that secures the ship, a large ship. So hope secures the mind. Hope secures the mind. The one whose mind is stayed on Jesus will have perfect peace.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Both sure and steadfast, and which entered into that which is within the veil. So hope protects the mind. Hope secures the mind. When you have hope from the Lord, what will happen is that you will be careful for nothing. But with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, you will make your request known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
So hope is important. Amen.
Amen.
Now look at Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 7. 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. So hope is a helmet. Now, you can easily have a heart transplant, but not a brain transplant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The brain is the most important organ. Some say the heart, the brain, because the brain gives signal. How do you know you have pain? Because the brain gives a signal to the body that you should have pain. If that part of the brain is not working, you can put your hand on fire and you'll not feel it.
Amen.
So the brain even tells the heart to pump blood. I'm just going to say that to all you that. The brain. Now there's a doctor here, so you have to say it to her. The brain tells the heart to pump the blood. The brain controls most of the everything. The nerves, everything, the brain. Doctor, is that true?
That's right.
Hallelujah. So in that way, the brain is so important. So you can imagine if the brain is malfunctioning or the brain is hurt. In the same way, hope without hope, the brain is hurt. Without hope, the brain is vulnerable because hope is a helmet to protect the head. Hope is so important that without hope, the Bible says hope postponed makes the heart sick. So if you see someone who is hopeless, see someone who is depressed, you are seeing someone who has no hope. If you see someone who is depressed, someone who is hopeless, it means that person has no hope. But the Bible made it clear from Romans chapter 15 how to get hope. So if you see someone who is full of hope, you see someone who is full of the scriptures. You see someone who is full of lack of hope, you see someone who is lacking the scriptures. So anyone who is depressed or has no hope, pump yourself with the word of God. Now, if you mix the word of God with music, Christian music, then you got it all.
Yeah.
But remember that hope, the Bible didn't say hope comes from singing, but from the scriptures. Even though the garment of praise it substitutes the spirit of heaviness. So it means that anyone who wants to have hope and overcome depression must sing. But remembering that what will support the hope is the word of God. Am I preaching to somebody? And then we talked about the fact that faith is important and hope is important that because without hope we can't have faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith. You see that faith is now. Now faith. Is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's very important that we understand that faith is material or tangible. Faith, you can see, you can feel it, you can see it. Hope, you can't see. Hope is a future thing. Hope is immaterial. Otherwise, the Bible will not say that faith is what is substance, materiality. So the Bible is saying that faith brings materiality to hope, or faith makes hope tangible. Hope is not tangible. If it's tangible, when are you going to have your resurrected body? We hope for the resurrection. When is that coming? Do you have it? Do you see it? You have no choice but to wait for hope. You can't, you just have to wait. Oh, I hope that on my wedding day, it will not rain. You can't speed, fast forward your wedding day to today. You have to wait. But faith is now. Now faith is. Are you hearing what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So it means that you and I, without hope, you can't even get faith. Because you first have to hope for something before you can get faith for it. You are sick. Oh, I hope I'll be well. Then you can convert that I hope I'll be well to I have faith now. Hope is from the scriptures, and you get hope from the mind. Hallelujah. But faith is of the heart, according to Galatians. Faith is of the heart. Hope is of the mind. So you first need to read the scriptures. When you read a word, which says, by his stripes I was healed, it enters into the mind, and you have hope about it. I have hope that I'll be healed. Many people don't get healed because it's still hope. It hasn't been generated to faith yet. So they are hoping they'll be healed, and they keep hoping. But the only way to move from hope to faith is when you keep repeating it, reading it, hearing it, then to move from the mind to the heart. Because remember that the heart is the inward man, the inner person, the hidden man of the heart. The heart is the spirit, and that is the real you. Man is a spirit, has a soul, and lives in a body. One of the seven great principles. Man which also means woman, is a spirit. We are a spirit being. And then right after, the spirit is the soul, and then the body is the most outer part of us. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if you think about it, something must first pass through the body, the ears, the senses, to enter into what is behind the body, which is the mind. Are you getting me?
Yeah.
So it has to enter into the mind first before it gets into the inner person.
Amen.
So you have to keep listening. That's why the Bible says, now, so then, Romans 10:17, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Am I preaching to somebody? So that's why you see that when people listen, you are trying to get healed. You read, audio Bible, you keep reading, and faith is generated.
Amen.
But you first have to hope for faith to come. Am I preaching to somebody?
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that's why the devil fights you hearing the word of God. That's why the devil fights me hearing the word of God. That's why you and I need to listen to the podcasts, or listen to preachers, or Sunday alone will not do it.
That's right.
Can you imagine the things we hear throughout the day? The news, friends, hearing, because faith comes by hearing, fear comes by hearing also.
Yeah, preaching.
And fear is negative faith.
That's right.
So if you and I keep hearing that by X, the statistics, X number of people will be diagnosed with cancer. So if you see a small bump, all you do. As I was bathing one day, I was like, bump here. And I said, no, it can't be worse. And it's gone now, of course. But because of the things you hear, you always ask, what
the only thing I did.
What's going on? Or is it just me?
No.
Oh, that's just you, I don't know. You ask yourself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But that's why we need to have more of the word in us, so that we will have more faith, we will have more positive things.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because the more we hear something, the more we believe it.
Amen.
You and I are sure that we have pancreas, but we have not seen it. We've seen pictures of it, but we just believe it because the doctors tell us. In the same way, we must believe in the same way what the Bible says. Because the Bible is surer than the word of God. Surer than what the doctor will say.
Amen.
The Bible is truth. We have facts and we have truth. We must believe the truth. The fact is that the doctors are giving you a new report. The fact is that the bank manager is about to foreclose on the mortgage. The fact is that they're about to take your car. But the truth is that God has said something else.
Amen.
What is God saying? Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Am I preaching to somebody?
Yeah.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now, what is the truth? Jesus Christ is called faithful and true. Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So it means that there are lords, and he is Lord of Lords, and there are kings. Who are the kings? You and I. Praise God. The Bible says that in Revelation, God has made you and I kings and priests unto God. I'm a king. Aren't you a king?
Yes.
We are kings. We are all kings. Whether female or male, we are kings.
Amen.
Am I preaching to somebody?
Amen.
We are in Philippians 4:8. Stay there, but let's go to Revelation 1. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, verse 6, and hath made us, not going to, not in the sweet Bible, not in the millennium, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever.
Amen.
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 I would believe God for hope.
I would believe
for faith. Now, hallelujah. Now think about it. That's in Habakkuk 2:4 and Romans 1:17. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then Romans 1:17, what does Romans 1:17 say? So without faith, we cannot make it. But we need hope to have faith. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written in Habakkuk, you need faith. How many of you know what I'm saying? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him.
Terry Gerson.